Dear Heavenly Father, it's all because of Christ. All because of Christ. We can stand here and we can say we have everything because we have Christ. Lord, we thank you. And as we open up the Word, I ask you to open up our minds and our hearts to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You know, listen, standing up here, I can hear you, some of you guys sing and everything. And I got Becky. I hear Becky every once in a while. I just hit some high marks. Crystal clear. Very, just beautiful. Beautiful. I think you should just get up here and sing sometime. But anyway. All right. We are going to finish up verse 5 today. And 1 Peter. Now we are team, well, go back, Team Jesus. Go back here, skip the... Alright, now, remember our Team Jesus concept here is this is our huddle, this is our coming together to make our strategy for the next week, the next week of us playing on the field out there, trying to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we are gathering here in our church service, in our huddle, and today we're going to be looking at a beautiful, beautiful word. One of the most beautiful words I think we can know as believers. So now I go to 1 Peter with a sermon titled, God's Salvation. And the word I'm talking about is salvation. And we are going to finish up 1 Peter verse 5 today. Let's go there, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now we've taken an in-depth look at these verses, the word kept and the power. Last week, faith, true saving faith. And today we're going to be on salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Meaning, we are saved people, but we have not yet experienced salvation. We've experienced redemption, justification, and should be experiencing in the present day sanctification. But salvation has not happened yet. We're experiencing the relationship with God, but not salvation. Salvation is yet to happen. It says it'll be revealed in the last time. Here's a question for you. From what are we saved? Sin? I hear say sin? Judgment of God? Anything else? Tribulation? Okay. Let's look at what we're saved from according to Scripture. I think all those people nailed it. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We also see in 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul wrote, verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So what is this wrath of God? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members, meaning the aspects of who you are as a believer, death of your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, these sinful things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons and the daughters of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Right, Jackie? I'm not pointing Jackie out because she was such a bad person. She was talking about that in our prayer service. And we always have to remember, we used to be out there. We used to be one of the sons and daughters of disobedience. And by God's grace, we're here. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things because we have been forgiven, because we have been saved. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We're to become the image of Jesus Christ according to the knowledge of the Word of God. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You want the cure for racism, for prejudice? Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, we are to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You see the huge difference between those who are supposed to be the elect of God and those who are disobedient in the world? Remember what we used to be like when we were disobedient out in the world? That's why the wrath of God is coming. Because of the sinfulness of the world. But our sins have been forgiven. And we are to put on our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to put on love. Because we are the elect. We are the faithful church. We're supposed to be the faithful church. And for that reason, we will escape this wrath of God which is coming upon the sons and daughters of disobedience. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. There's only been one event that affected all of human history. It was a test. It was a judgment. And that was the flood of Noah. But there is another hour coming that will test the whole world. The whole world will fall under judgment. It's called the 7-year tribulation. But we are not accounted for that. Because this is where the wrath of God will start to pour out upon the earth. The wrath upon all the sinfulness, the rebellion, the wickedness. But God says to the faithful church here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, that we'll be kept from that hour of trial. And people say, well, that's just an hour. You're talking about 7 years. Well, yes, it's just the same way we understand what Winston Churchill said way back during World War II. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty. So bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour. When he says hour there, what is he talking about? World War II, Battle of Britain, it was taking months. What in Revelation 3 verse 10, this trial, from this hour of trial is a reference to the period of the 7 years. So first and foremost, we are saved from the wrath of God. Comes during the tribulation period. I want to share with you what we're saved from. Go to the next slide, Levi. There's a little timeline when we did the Revelation study. The rapture of the church ends at the church age, ends the church age, and the 7-year tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, begins. This is where there are judgments one after another where God is pouring His wrath down on the sons and daughters of disobedience. Those who refuse to turn from their sin. Those who reject Jesus Christ. This 7-year period is divided up into 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 bowls. All these are judgments of God's wrath coming down on a Christ-rejecting world. Starts out bad and it just gets worse. Designed to bring an end to sinfulness. Designed to bring an end of rebellion to God. But also designed with grace. As bad as it is, I'm going to explain what it is. As bad as these times are going to be, the wrath of God, the period that we are saved from, is also designed to wake people up, to shake them up, to break their pride, their stubbornness, their rebellion, and to bring many, and I do mean many, to faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. Yes, God is pouring His wrath down, but at the same time, grace is poured in it. And millions upon millions will be saved. But it's going to take such drastic means to wake them up, to break the pride, to break the lies that they believe in. You see, right now, man's heart is getting harder and harder. Fewer and fewer people are just coming to Jesus Christ because of the grace. It's going to take the tribulation period to wake up many. Go to the next slide, Levi. There's the layout of the seals. Seven seals, and inside six and seven are the trumpets and the bowls. The sixth seal describes the last 3.5 years of the 7 years being fulfilled by what is contained in the seventh seal, which is the trumpet and bowl judgments. Let's go to the seven seals first. The wrath of God begins here. It begins with allowing the world to be deceived because it wants to be deceived because the world at this point does not want the truth. So a white horse appears. This is the Antichrist. He comes on and for a short period, there's peace and there's prosperity in the world. You see, when he comes on the scene, the world is in chaos. The world is on the brink. It feels like a destruction. There's wars. There's pandemics. There's uncertainty in the market. There's all these things happening, very similar to what we're experiencing today. Then the rapture in there, the church, the faithful church, is going to throw the world into chaos. And the man of sin, of lawlessness, will come. And he will deceive the world. And it'll be good for a short period. But then there'll be those that resist the Antichrist. Not believers, not the church, just people and world leaders who don't want to share power. And he will make war on them. But here in the second seal, the Greek there that's describing what's going on also talks about men killing men. Not in war, but just murder, slaughter. Ethnic cleansing, political cleansing, hate-based cleansing, and killing. A lot of hate. The third seal is famine. Because of the war, the Antichrist is making, the chaos that happens, the killing, famine hits. Then the fourth seal, pestilence. Death. 1/4 of mankind dies by this point. 1/4 of the world population dies. Fifth seal, martyrdom and the great tribulation is about to begin, the last 3.5 years. The slaughter of new believers. What we call a tribulation saint. Those who have come to Christ after the rapture of the church. Sixth seal is the heavenly signs and the descriptions of what will happen during the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years. And here there's a moment of silence in heaven. You see, there's praise constantly going on to God in heaven, but here in heaven, quiet. Because what is about to be poured out in the seventh seal upon the face of the earth, the humanity, is so bad. There's just silence. The seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets, the first one, with what goes on, I'm not going to go into all the details, I'm just going to give you the highlights. When the first trumpet sounds, green grass, one-third of the trees are burned up. You know those people who are investing their lives and they worship Mother Nature and the environment? That's their God, that's their religion. God is stripping it away. You see, God's not going to let anything that people believe in now stand because they need to believe in Him. He's their only hope. So the green grass, one-third of the trees are burned up. One-third of the sea becomes blood. One-third of the ships and sea life destroyed. The third trumpet, one-third of the waters turn bitter in the world. One-third become poisonous. Fourth trumpet, one-third of the sun, moon, and stars do not shine. Fifth trumpet, locusts. These locusts are not like any, they're some sort of demonic little creature. It's a nasty whatever it is. Whatever John is trying to describe here is nasty. It's a plague that affects mankind. By this time, another one-third of mankind is killed. We are having a lot of deaths on the planet. I'm sorry, I skipped one to verse trumpet 6. Go back to trumpet 5 there. These locusts, they sting, have a sting that makes people want to die. But death eludes them. They can't die. Now, trumpet 6, this 200 million, says here man army, but if you read it, it's more 200 million demonic beings. And one-third of mankind is killed. The seventh trumpet, Jesus' return is to the earth is shortly after this trumpet. But before he does, this trumpet, there is seven bowls inside that last trumpet. Seven bowls. The first one, here now, the last remaining of humanity that is refusing to repent. They're refusing to turn. They even know everything bad that has happened. They know it's God. They know it's God. But the scripture says they refuse to repent. And these things sound really bad that are about to happen, but God is trying to break their stubbornness, their pride, because He is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So the bowl number 1 causes sores on those who have accepted the mark of the beast. Bowl number 2, the sea turns to blood. All the sea creatures die. Bowl number 3, rivers turn to blood. Fourth bowl, mankind scorched by the sun blasphemes God for it. Bowl number 5, the beast's seat of government is afflicted. God starts to destroy the Antichrist and his system. In 1 hour, he's going down. The sixth bowl, Euphrates, is dried up. The world armies gather together for Armageddon. Bowl number 7, the earth is utterly shaken, a worldwide earthquake. And Christ returns. And if he didn't return at this moment, he said humanity would destroy itself. No one would be left. It's how bad it's going to be. All these are judgments of God. All these are the wrath of God. Revelation 3:10, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world. Jesus even warned that we could escape these things. Luke 21, but take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day, the day of the Lord, capitalized the 7-year period, that day came upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be found counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Everything in Luke 21 goes along with Matthew chapter 24, the signs of the times, all the terrible things that will happen during the tribulation period. And Jesus says you can escape these things if you're counted worthy. And we know there's only one way to be found worthy. And that is to be born again by Jesus Christ. So, from what are we saved? First and foremost, the wrath of God. Tribulation period. But we're also saved from something else. The second death. Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books, plural, were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. You see, when you die outside of Christ, then you will stand against the law. You will stand judgment for your works. And we know humanity, our works are more bad than good if you weigh them out. And where these people, because they refuse the grace of Christ, they're going to be judged by their life's works. And there is no one that is found innocent. Everyone is found guilty against the law. That's what the law teaches us. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is the judgment, the final judgment. This is at the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20. There's only two other chapters after this. This is at the end of time. After the tribulation period, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, after the releasing of Satan and the final rebellion, then comes the judgment, the great white throne. And all who are not in Christ are judged here. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Second death is complete separation from God for all eternity. The second death is not the people that are annihilated to exist no more. No, God created every person as eternal. All of us will exist forever. Your soul is who you really are, and it's eternal. And you'll either exist with God as one of His children, or you'll exist separated from God for all eternity in the lake of fire, which is the second death. We are saved from the second death. Not by our works, but by the work of Jesus Christ. So, from what are we saved? The wrath of God during the tribulation period. Also, the second death at the great white throne judgment. We are saved from our sin. We are saved from everything by Jesus Christ. Now we understand what we are saved from what we are saved. Now let's look at what salvation brings. We are saved to go home. And I want to describe this home. This new place we will live. Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. We will also see this in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Peter talks great about the earth being burned up. It dissolving into nothing. The Greek he uses there is just incredible. What it describes, the earth vaporizing, basically, into non-existence. But after that, a new earth. To replace the one that the psalmist, in our psalm this morning in our prayer service, the psalmist described it as the earth melting away. But after it melts, after it dissolves away, after it's burned up, John says, I see a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So what is John seeing here? First, he's seeing a new heaven and a new earth. You see, this one has been damaged. Everything we see today, even though as areas are really beautiful, but you know, this world is wasted real estate. Because there was a worldwide flood that destroyed the pre-flood world. And the pre-flood world, earth, what we know from what the Bible tells us and what science has revealed to us, the pre-flood world was amazing. There's still beauty in this world, but it's nothing like it was pre-flood. So this new heaven and new earth is going back to the way it was in the beginning, when God made everything and said, this is very good. Let's go to the next slide, Levi. The Bible describes from the pre-flood world and what we know about this new world that the world is mostly land. God didn't design this world with the huge oceans that we have today. No. It's mostly land. We know that from what the Word says and from science. Science has proven there used to be a lot more land on this planet than there is today. And when we do apologetics, I go into that, the pre-flood world and all the science there, but there were seas, but there weren't these great oceans. And the Bible tells us, and science has confirmed it, that the earth, because of the way God designed this earth, that it would be like a greenhouse all over the world. 74, 75 degrees. It would be beautiful. When it gets to 110 here, don't you wish it was 75? This new earth is going to be amazing. Perfect. How many of you guys like to go camping and exploring God's creation? Yeah, it's going to be a new physical world. And we're still physical beings at this point. God has restored us, glorified us. But we are physical beings. And we have a physical world to live in for all eternity. And it's an amazing, perfect world. I wish I had time to go into more details. But it's going to be amazing. But it gets better. Talks about this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. You see, Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. The city of the saints. It's called, looks like a bride because the church lives there. The church takes on the characteristics of its inhabitants. So it looks like a bride coming down. This city is amazing. If Christ can make, and it was Jesus Christ who created the 6 days, in 6 days the known universe, what has he been creating for 2,000 years? That song we sang, in my Father's house, there is room for me. There is. And this city that John sees comes down from the third heaven, the abode of God, and it connects to the physical new earth. So you see, eternity is not just spiritual aspects, it's physical as well, because we're physical beings. There's the physical earth to enjoy, and this beautiful city that comes down. And this picture here doesn't even do it justice. From what we know from the descriptions of this city. You see, this city is 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles. 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. An amazing city. And it comes down and lands on the earth. That would take up half of our continental United States. It's a big city. But I find it fascinating that it's 1,500 miles up. Do we know what the height of the International Space Station is above the earth? Yeah, well, I looked it up and said 220. So let's say 200, let's just say 300 miles. That's like, what? Third or fourth floor of this city? This city goes 1,500 miles. What's the view from the top? You see, it's a new heaven too, new space. God makes everything beautiful and perfect. And this city, the building materials of this city, we go into our town, what we got? We got asphalt, concrete, brick, stone. Go to the next slide. There's the building material. This city's awesome. And this is our home. And this amazing new planet. You see, too many people have a small view of heaven. I mean, that guy's bald. I thought you at least got your hair back. They think that's heaven. No wonder people aren't excited about heaven. No wonder people aren't focused on the relationship with God. Because their understanding and view is too small. As beautiful as the new earth and the city and how amazing this is going to be, it still gets better. You know our sin nature? Gone. Think about that. Me and Wendy won't argue anymore. We won't even think anything bad. We've been freed from the sin nature, finally. You see, right now we still have the old self. And the new has come, but the old is, we want to let go, and we try as much in the walk in the Spirit to let the old go. But they war. The old self, the old flesh wars against the Spirit. And there's always that wrestling inside us. We're never quite free yet. But when salvation comes in the last time, sin nature gone. We won't think anything bad. We won't say anything bad. We won't do anything bad. We'll be able to be like Jesus and say that everything I do pleases the Father. Wow. But it gets better. We have this new earth, this beautiful city that's a home. We have no sin nature, but here's the greatest aspect of what we are saved to go home to. Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor things. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." We're going to be with God. Can't even fathom that. What a home. We are going to an amazing place. To an amazing home. To what salvation brings. And we, as the elect, should want to take as many of our family, friends, and others with us. That's why it's so important for us to share with everyone we can. So important for us right now to understand what Peter has taught us so far in these first five verses, and really four, because we're going to begin with verse 2. Elect. The called out ones. One God chose for salvation according to His foreknowledge, which He willed to happen. The elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In sanctification of the Spirit. The process where the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, transforms us into the image of Christ, where we have the heart and the mind and heart of Christ. Where we want to share with people. Love people. For obedience to what God has called us to be, His witnesses, His church. All possible because of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the blood He shed on the cross, and the grace that He gave us, and the peace He promised. Now let me say, I know many of our loved ones do not want to listen right now to the gospel. But we must not lose hope. And we can't just ignore the fact that they need to hear it. We can't give up. Too much is at stake. The wrath of God, we don't want anyone going through that. We don't want our loved ones to experience the second death. We must remember not to grow weary in doing good, in doing what God has called us to do. God has promised that in due season we'll reap a harvest. The fruit will be produced if we are obedient to God, to embrace the truth that we are the elect of God, the called out ones, to be His witnesses, to embrace our relationship with Him, to embrace sanctification. God will work through us to save other people. If we surrender to Him. Maybe right now we can see our loved ones come to Christ. Some of them maybe. If we pray for them. Go before God and take their name. Cry out for them. We go to them on our knees. We keep their name before His throne. We keep embracing the sanctification and the Word of God to equip us so that we can reach people. We don't give up. Maybe they'll come to Christ before the rapture, before the tribulation period. Or maybe they'll come to Christ in the tribulation period. You see, as bad as the tribulation period is, as I mentioned, God continues to save many people during that time. I think many of the people who will be saved in the tribulation period will be people who were witnessed to before the tribulation period. You see, those people that we were faithful to share the gospel with, but there was no fruit produced, no salvation. But that's not the point. We are to be faithful to share the gospel and let God do the rest. But maybe many of those, maybe even family members who won't listen to you, you still need to share the gospel. You still need to pray for them because maybe God will bring it to their memory after the church is gone. And they can call out to Him then. It's better then than never. That's why it's so important for us to be faithful now to what God has called us to be. Maybe our faith will bring salvation to people now. We'll be able to share the gospel. We'll be able to see the truth in us. But maybe it'll be delayed for a while. but God will still use you to reach somebody years from now. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Whew, we just talked about. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. My Father has a place in His house just for us. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Salvation from the wrath of God during the tribulation period. Salvation from the second death, eternal separation from God. And saved to experience home, our true home, the new earth, the celestial city, free of the sin nature, and in the presence of God. Can you imagine that? I can't either. Let's sing that.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your worship you. I can only imagine.
Dear Heavenly Father, one day we won't have to imagine because it'll happen. We will be there. The trumpet will sound and you will call us home. Our salvation will happen. It'll be in the perfect timing, your timing, but it will happen. Lord, we will see you. We'll be free of the sin nature. And in your timeline, there will be a new earth and that heavenly city, a new heaven, an eternity that is just mind-blowing for us. Better than we could ever imagine. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the salvation you have given us. The place reserved for us in heaven. It all began with your grace. It all began with you going to the cross and dying for our sins. The sins that separate us from you, Lord. Place we all used to be. But Lord, there might be someone in here who is separated from you. Whose sins have not been taken care of. They have not been born again in the blood of the Lamb by the Holy Spirit of God. They have not received the righteousness of Christ. Lord, it takes just a moment, but it's a real moment where the heart and the mind understand who we are. We're sinners with no hope. You are God, you are righteous, and you will judge. But at the same time, you want to show mercy, and so you've given us a way out. If we will turn from our sins, if we will put our faith in your Son, calling out on the only name given to us that we might be saved, we will be born again. But Lord, we must want to turn from our sins. And put our faith only in Jesus Christ. Ready to surrender our lives to our Lord, our Master. No longer to be slaves of sin, but slaves of God. The good Master. The one who loves us and died for us. Lord, if there's someone in here who needs to do that, let them do it. If they need to come and talk to me, let them bring them. And Lord, we have loved ones that we want that to happen. Lord, let us be faithful to pray for them. Not ignore it. Not stick our head in a hole in the ground. But Lord, realizing the times we live, realizing what is coming, your wrath is coming upon all who are disobedient. And Lord, many of them we love. You love them. You died for them. And you're calling us to reach them with your truth before it's too late. Before they have to endure the tribulation period and possibly even the second death. Lord, we want our loved ones in our eternal home, this amazing place. I ask you to help us stay focused as your church on what's really important each day. We pray this in your name, in the most beautiful name, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. All right, Team Jesus, we're about to break onto the playing field of the world. You have salvation. The joy of the Lord carries us through all things. No matter how hard it gets, you have the Lord. Don't forget that. We have salvation. And that salvation has come into us and it needs to go through us to those out there. That's what we are called to do. That's what playing the game is all about. So let's take the knowledge, the love of God, the grace of God, the salvation of God out to those who we can. Let's break out of here and go do that. On the count of three. One, two, three. Break! Let's go.